This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 337. We're starting a brand new franchise, three-film franchise. We're starting the Star Treks from 2009. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, are you a fan of Star Trek or any Star Trek? And what did you think on first watch in the theater of the new Star Trek?
Great question. So overall, I would say I've become one. I was not a big fan of Star Trek. I never was into Star Trek. When I was a kid, my dad used to watch The Next Generation. So I remember it being on TV and stuff, but I never was into it. I thought it was boring. I never saw any of the old movies. This Star Trek 2009 is the, or 2009, right? Didn't this come out in 2009?
Yeah, 2009.
This was the first one that I had ever seen in full and paid attention. Because I think I saw First Contact in the theater when I was a kid, but I fell asleep. So like this was the first Star Trek movie. And then I went back not that long ago and rewatched all the original ones. So I've become a Star Trek fan, but I'm not like a long-term, I'm not a person that's been a fan for a long time. This movie, though, I saw it like, I don't know, three or four times in the movie theater. Yep. I saw it many times. I loved it.
Yeah, this movie, when I saw it, well, I'm a Trekkie. So yeah. I don't say that right now. I'm a big Trek fan. I loved it. The first one that I ever watched was the original Star Trek. And the reason why is because they came out with the Blu-ray that comes with the original effects. And then when you switch it, it goes with the new version effects. Like, it looks way better and everything. Cleaned it up and everything. Which I say Paramount does an amazing job with their Star Treks TV shows. Like, they looked enhanced. But anyway, that was my first one. Then I went into The Next Generation and I watched that. Then the ones that I never seen is Voyager and Deep Space Nine. Those are the only two I have not seen. I'm waiting for better copies of them because they look like shit now. They still look like crap. So I'm waiting to see if they're going to get the upgrade. But I did see The Enterprise. I thought I liked that one. But right now, Discovery is pretty cool. I watch the newer shows I watch in Paramount.
Yeah.
Strange New Worlds is my favorite one, hands down. Captain Pike, Young Spock. Anyway, nerding out. Turns into the movie, 2009. I loved it. Just like you, I saw it multiple times in the theater. Multiple times in the theater. And I said, oh my God, I can't wait to talk about this movie because there's some stuff I like and dislike. So let's have fun. Let's get into it because we're going to have fun breaking this stuff down. So with that said, financially, how did this movie do? Because Star Trek is not big financials when it goes to the theater. It's never, it's not like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like Star Wars. For some reason, it doesn't apply to a lot of people for some reason. I don't get it. I don't know why, but it's not as good. It's not as good. I will say I thought it was good, but even me and you going 10,000 times did not go well.
We tried as much as we can.
We tried as much to get this franchise up and going. $150 million budget. J.J. Abrams, they gave him. Looks right? Like, so you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of money for the first Star Trek movie. Rightfully so. Worldwide total of $385 million. Now, I know people are going to be like, but Alex, that is a successful movie. Not really. If you really double it, it's $300. It only made like $85 million plus marketing. This movie had a heavy marketing. Paramount did a heavy marketing on this film. So
probably did well on video, though. Because obviously they made three of them. So you're right. Probably with marketing, I bet it maybe broke even. But then once they got to Blu-rays and things, because you got to remember, Blu-ray came out in 2008. So Blu-ray was still a new format. So I bet, you know, it did well there. People buying it. Remember, I don't know if you remember, there was like 60 versions of this. And like, there was like a clear plastic case. And then there was a Blu-ray. And then there was one that looked like the logo. And then there was one that looked like a spaceship in it. So I bet you it did well there because you're right. That's not a huge hit.
No, it's not. If you really look at it, it is not. And then the controversial stuff comes in with William Shatner, which we're going to talk about because that stuff started to come out to light.
I don't even know about this. Can't wait to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be pretty fun. The whole controversial thing with that. So now, with that said, those are the financials. Like I said, I'm a little disappointed when I thought it was a big hit. I thought we hit $800 million with this. We didn't. No, we did not. But that does not take away from the film. With that said, let's get to the film critics and the audience and see what they said about this film.
It made $800 million for me because this was before Unlimited, so I paid for every single ticket, every single time. This was a critical darling, which is another reason why it probably, you know, they were able to make sequels. This was pretty high. I was surprised. When I went and looked, I was like, this is some Star Wars numbers here. 94% critics, 91% audience. So it's everyone likes it, but they only went to see it one time at the theater. I think that's what happened. Only me and you went, so, you know, multiple times.
Yeah, we did.
Everybody was like, one time, I loved it, bye.
I agree. I think those, see, look, you said critics 94, audience?
91.
Same thing?
91.
81?
90.
91.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that tells you right there, this movie should have hit at least 900 to 800, at least. With those numbers, I think it was the repeating viewing, and I think you're right. But I have a feeling when this movie came out, another big-ass movie came out right after the 2 weeks or another week, right? 2009?
2009 was the year of Avatar. I know that, but that was in December. That was in December. Mm. Summer? Yeah, we'll have to look, you know what? We'll have to look up summer 2009. And
June, May 6th, it rolled out.
Yeah, it was a summer movie. I remember that.
So let's look at it.
Yeah, just see what else came out that summer. Yeah, I think, I agree. I thought, you know, maybe Trek, though, none of the previous movies, I don't think were like mega box office behemoths. I don't think.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, that made actually good money, even though it got pirated. Like, opening weekend was over $100 million, I remember.
Ghosts of Girlfriend's Past. Yeah.
Junk. What else came out?
17 again.
Listen, to make 800, you have
Fast
to
Fast and the Furious.
Oh, which one?
Monsters and Aliens, State of Play, Earth.
Monsters vs. Aliens made money. If that's Fast and Furious 4, I think that did pretty deep. Like,
it says Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that's the fourth one. That's the one where Paul Walker and Vin Diesel both came back for the first time. Yeah. So, you know, to make 800, 900, a billion, you have to have legs. Like, people have to go see it multiple times, and it has to do well for like 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but it's a little lower than
that. It's all right. All right. Look,
with that said, it doesn't affect the movie at all.
It does not. All right. Look, with that said, we gave you guys our financials, we gave you guys the critic score and the fan score. Now it's time to give you our scores. What did we think sitting down rewatching this for the first time? I saw this now when it comes to 4K. I saw this in 4K, but I never heard it on my Sonos system. Ooh. Let me tell you something. This house was rocking like docking.
And this movie has good, like, cool sound effects, too.
Dude, we got to talk. Okay. The scene when he goes for the first time, when they get to the first time to the bridge, and you hear all the things going, tick, 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 tick. It went around the speakers. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on the bridge of the Enterprise. But yeah, we got to talk about it because this is actually pretty fun. All right, let's go. Lead characters, Spock, Kirk, Uhura, Bones, you name it, Chekhov, Sulu.
I'm gonna just come out here and I'm gonna be honest with you guys at home. I do love this movie, okay? I love it, but I try to be very critical because I don't want to be, you know, I love Ninja Turtles. I don't want another version of Ninja Turtles where I'm just like, everything fine. Even though I do feel that way, I was like, I'm gonna be very critical here, but I still give them a 5. Because you know why? They're great. Yeah. Now that I've seen the original movies and I had no point of comparison the first time. These are just characters I've never seen before. Now that I have one, they're freaking phenomenal. Chris Pine was a great choice to play Captain Kirk. He is great in the role. The character is interesting. He's fun. He's like rebellious, but he's very smart. You know, he knows what he has to do, but he has that sort of edgy streak to him. Great character. Zachary Quinto, God bless his career. He never did anything else good except this, because he's really good as Spock. I think he did a fantastic job playing Spock. How cool was it to see like Leonard Nimoy in it and him? And even though he doesn't play it quite like, he's not like Leonard Nimoy, but you could believe it's a younger version of the older of the other Spock. So great job. Zoe Saldana, I love her and everything. Oh, Anton Yelchin as Chekhov. It's a small role, but he does the accent so good. It's fantastic. Funny. You got Harold from Harold and Kumar, John Cho as Sulu. He's fun. Simon Pegg was a big win, I think, for Scotty, honestly. Yeah, everyone, not only are all the characters great, they're perfectly casted. And Bones. Oh, Carl Urban as Bones? That steals the movie. Yeah. I like him better than the original. I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe someone's going to yell at me. I liked him in the original a lot. But it's just cool to see him do something that he's not just like brooding. You know, he's funny. He hates space, but he's going to be in space. It's great. 5 out of 5.
Yeah. You know, I sat back and I was thinking, all right, I cannot be biased with this movie and I can't slap it fives all over the place, because then it'll be wrong to the viewers going, man, you love this franchise, like, why would you do that? So I sat back and I went, wait, what did I think of the lead characters? I gave it a 5. Yeah. You're right, because there's no way you could give this lower than a 5. Yeah. They are perfectly casted from beginning to end. There is no flaw in even Christopher Pike as dude that played Bruce Greenwood. Christopher Pike. Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love it because it's another timeline, another alternate reality of these characters, because the original Spock broke through the wormhole. Well, Nero, the villain, did, and he ended up in another alternate verse of this. So yeah. The whole movie is a different version of this, and I kind of liked it, and that's the best way to do it. So how did this all work? My favorite character, all of them. You're right. I like Chekhov. Mm-hmm. He was mad funny.
Victor
won. I could do this. Yeah. I could do this. And he's like, yeah. And then when they landed, he said, "Kusme."
Check yeah. off Pavel Andreevich.
Yeah, yep. I love that. Yeah. Oh man. I think like Chekhov was good. Bones is funny. My wife loves the scene in is where he meets Kurt for the first time and they're in the little transporter to go into the ship.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, what's your name?" And he goes, "My name is whatever, Bones." And he goes, "You know, my wife, I'm divorced." Yeah. And the wife took the entire planet.
She left me with my bones.
Yeah. He said she inherited the planet, like meaning that wherever he goes, she's there.
Yep.
She laughed. I was like, I don't even remember that line. Uhura, I thought she was good. It's pretty cool how they had her relationship with Spock, because they never had that in the show. They alluded to it,
yeah,
but they never showed it until the film. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, you're right. Kurt, I like Kurt though. I like this version of Kurt because he's so funny.
Yeah.
My favorite scene of Kurt is when he's doing the simulator and he whips out the apple.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, they're going to attack us. He goes, "Do nothing." Yeah. He's like, "But they're going to hit it." I said, "Don't do nothing. Get the medical team ready."
Yeah. Get the medical team ready. And he's like, "Launch the photons."
Yeah. And then he's like,
and he's eating the apple.
He so, said, like, "Did I pass?" He said, "That's all we got." I thought that was so funny. Oh, man. I thought that scene is so like the cockiness and stuff. And in terms of William Shatner, so the whole thing with William Shatner was a lot of people felt like why William Shatner didn't come back with Leonard Nimoy as like, you know, Leonard Nimoy and him going through the black hole and then he meets this younger self. So apparently I think there was like a rift between him and Paramount. Because if you notice in the first Generations movie, we haven't done it yet, but Captain Kirk dies.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And they were going to kill him off screen because he was playing hardball. He was like, he felt like the way they wanted to kill him off was not the way Kurt would do it. And they were like, "Well, if you don't do it the way we're doing it, we're just going to kill you off screen." And people would just be mad that way. And he did it for the fans. And you'll see the documentary. He talks about it. It's very bitter. Like, he's very like, so it's like, it's kind of a shame.
I like that it was Spock. I feel like it worked that it was Spock.
It worked, but yeah.
That, you know, because they blow up Vulcan and all that kind of, well, we'll get into it in story, but
yeah.
Kirk should have came back for the sequel at least. They should have figured out a way. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you could have did it. I mean, like I said, like he had that ship where they could have had the technology to show him as an adult version. Yeah. Like, you know what? This is your future when in this timeline, this was you. Like your father was at, you know, and then you see him with William Shatner, like whatever. But yeah, look, a 5 across the board there. Okay, main villain, Nero.
Okay.
The Romulan.
Yeah. So I'll be honest here. This Eric is where it took a little hit for me. First of all, I like Eric Bana. I think he's underrated. I wish he was in more things. He's not in like tons of movies. And he usually was like a good guy, but I think he's good as the villain. So I like the casting and I like the villain. I like the motivation, but I could have sworn rewatching this, like I could have sworn he did more stuff than he actually ultimately does. He doesn't do a lot. Like he has that big cool ship. Clifton Collins plays his like right hand man. He ends up talking for him most of the time. You know, he yells that one time, "Don't tell me it didn't happen. I saw it happen." So like, that's a cool scene. But other than that, I think he's a very solid villain. I don't know if maybe even if they were thinking franchise, well, you know, every time now they make a movie, they're thinking franchise. Maybe they didn't want to go like a best villain right out the gate or something. But to me, this feels like a good first villain, a very good first villain, but not an amazing knock it out the park. I gave him a four. I liked his motivation. You know, I get it. He thinks that he blew up. I thought he thinks he blew up the planet. Really, he just failed to stop it. So I don't know. I understand if he knew what was which, but either way, he thinks he's holding him responsible, chasing him through time. It's a revenge thing, but still a four for me. I don't think he was amazing.
All right, look, when it comes to Nero, I kind of agree with you. I gave him a four. I mean, I could have went with a 5. To be honest with you, he did everything. He checked off on the boxes for villain. My only gripe, we didn't get much him fighting. Yeah. And I think that's pretty much. And he didn't do much of the talking. Like, he didn't, like, be like, oh, put it up on screen. And it's not him going, you know, who are you? Like, he did it totally, like, towards the end. And, you know, when he was like, oh, put up the hull. And then you see it was, like, the Enterprise 1701. And he was just like, oh, wait. Yeah. Like, he was like, put me on the screen.
Zoom in.
Like, yeah. He was like, wait. Yeah. So yeah. I was just like, okay. I was like, that's cool. I agree with you. I think the motivation was there. I love when he yelled for Spock. He was like, Spock! Yeah. Like, oh, shit. Like, I thought it was cool. But it reminded me of the same ending of Search for Spock. Mm-hmm. I hope that was the right one. The one that had the good, he was a good Klingon. He was really good. Where the Enterprise shot the torpedo and then it came right back around and he was like, to be or not to be. And then it got hit. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that one.
I only saw it once. I remember liking that one pretty good, though. But
yeah, there was one that the Enterprise, they recalibrated the torpedoes and they shot it. And then it did a warp around and he thought they got him. And then it just came back and it hit him. It kind of felt the same way with the whole ending, like him looking and then Spock just ran through everything undiscovered country.
Oh, the sixth one. Oh, that's yeah. Spock's, isn't that like his brother or something?
No, that's part 5.
Oh.
The brother, when he captures the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kurt was like, why didn't you just ask?
That's when everyone hates that. I kind of liked it. Everybody was got mad.
Yeah, you're weird. That was so weird. But anyway. Yeah, so like, I don't know. I thought Nero was, I like the way they designed it. I was very shocked with this though, Nate. I don't understand why they did not go with a Klingon first.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, well, we'll get into it. The Klingons don't play a huge role in this trilogy.
No,
they're not. They're in their movie, but they're not like, none of the main villains is ever a Klingon.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand why this movie should have been with a Klingon, because then it would have made sense with all the destruction, you know, with the birds of prey, like killing all the, you know, because then it'll feel, I don't know, to me,
maybe they were like, let's save it. Let's not blow our load right away and go
could be.
Klingon and and then we have nothing for the next movie. Maybe that's why they picked Romulan, because I don't even know what that was till I saw it.
Well, Romulans are really bad. Like, they're really, like, they're evil Vulcans. Oh, okay. They're like, that's why if you notice when the scene where Spock was talking to Kirk and then he was like, what are you doing? And he was like, we have to play diplomacy. Like telling him, like, we have to be nice. He said, I wouldn't. Is because they're like the evil Vulcans.
Okay. They're the evil brother.
Yeah, just think of it that way. Yeah. And them dudes are like, they're ruthless, like how he was. Like, them, they don't fuck around. And their technology is like 10 times above everybody. Strong. Yeah. So, but yeah, so anyway, I give it a 4. You give it a 4. Okay, action scenes.
So I feel like I know where you're going to go with this, but I gave it a 5. I gave it a 5. Listen, and I did not, at first I was like, you know, I got to keep in mind, this is Star Trek. These are not like known for being action movies. So let me score it within the Star Trek, right? But even outside of the Star Trek, this thing has hella action in it. Like, even if it was some new make-believe franchise that's just starting called Star Guys, it's got tons of action. You got, the opening scene is awesome. I love it. The way this movie opens, it sets you on for like, bro, this movie's gonna be good. You got like right away big spaceships coming through wormholes and torpedoes and explosions and a guy crashing a ship into, like, I'm like, this is the first 10 minutes of the movie. I love the scene. I even love the driving scene with Sabotage. I love that song, first of all. When Kirk is a kid, he's driving the car. Then you get the fight on the drill. The drill scene is awesome when they like dive in with the suits on and the pair.
Yeah.
Awesome. You get some sword fighting in there. You get the monster scene. It's short, but still there's a big monster chasing an ice planet. And then at the end, you get more. I wish the end was a little longer. Like, I wish that kind of final, but I get it. Like, you got this big monster ship and this littler, much smaller ship, and they got to use their wits. And that's where it's more Star Trek. Got to use their brains. But even still, for a Star Trek movie, it's a 5. I think overall it's a 5. It's all very well executed by J.J. Abrams, honestly. Like, everything looks good. You could see what's going on. The money was on the screen. So, 5 for me.
Dude, 5. The minute the movie started, I said, this is a 5. This ain't going down after this. I can't be biased because I already knew. Like, I was like, wait. But I didn't know how much. And this movie had tons of action. Yeah. I'll say this. My favorite part of the movie is the ending. I don't care what anyone says. I got mad excited. I got mad amped. When Spock is he's on the ship, right? He's flying it. And the dude shot. He's like, shoot all that torpedoes. And all the torpedoes are coming out. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, what's Spock going to do? Because it's coming towards him. And then the Enterprise came out. like bam out of warp, shooting all the things to clear a path. Yeah. I said, yo, this scene is dope. I rewinded it because yo, that shit all year was like pew 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 pew, and I was like, this shit is hot. I was like, you can't tell me this is not cool. Yep. Like the Enterprise in this movie, the only nitpick I got with this movie is the hull of the Enterprise. It is way too futuristic for me, especially for the Enterprise, especially them being young. I like the design that they did in Strange New Worlds because it was a modern original with the colorful red, yellow everywhere. And they had the old school sounds of the Enterprise. So for me, like that hull is amazing. This one was way too futuristic. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is, and I was telling my wife, I was like, this is way too new for me too for glossy. This type of, too glossy. Yeah, it doesn't look vintage.
Yeah.
Like, cause you got, what people gotta understand is like that Enterprise is the first Enterprise with all the gadgets. Yeah. So, and then came the next generation, which is that's the better version of the Captain Kirk shit. And that's how it goes. So this one has to have all the bells and whistles, but it's the first of the line. So I'm like, that is just way too futuristic for, but again, it's an alternate timeline. So I was like, it's okay. In my sense, I was like, I'm okay with it. But other than that, I love the fights. Oh man, when they, I love when he was like, teleport me right here, and they teleported him right in the middle of the ship, and it went and they started shooting everywhere. Loved it. The new guns that flip to stun to kill.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, sick. It's a different color.
Yeah, you know which one. Oh, yep. That thing's sick. I said, oh, that is so sick. I loved it. I'm telling you, like, this movie has everything for you. They have the fights with the ships, which everyone loves. You have it. You have the whole on the ground again, like you said, the whole the Halo jump.
Yeah,
that was dope. And then they show Sulu with the knife, and yes, I told my wife because she was like, cool. Yeah, she was like, I don't get why he's fencing. I was like, because in the original Star Trek, when their minds got all like destroyed, you see Sulu running around the original ship with the fencing, and he was just like fencing. He was like,
so that was an inside joke. Okay, see, I never even, I liked it when he's like, what kind of fighting training do you have? He's like, fencing.
Yeah,
I still thought it was funny, even not knowing that.
I'll send you a clip of it. Yeah, you see him running, and they show him on the screen. You see Sulu like this. He's like,
okay.
Yeah. That's his thing. Yeah, that's his thing is the fencing. So I thought that was pretty cool. I think everything worked so well, like you said, so well. Even Spock could have killed Kirk.
Oh yeah,
because he is super strong. I mean, everyone sees it in part two how strong he's gonna get, but he held back. Oh man, he could have tore him
a new one. Right there, bro. He was choking him. He just could have squeezed. Yeah. He would have crushed his throat.
Oh yeah, but anyway, five across the board. Okay, let's see where we go here because I got to see where you think here storyline.
Five. Listen, this is it's just a great film. I don't know. I thought I might, you know, like I saw it so many times when it came out and I thought it's been 15 years since this came out. I'm like, I'm a whole new man. I was 22 when this came out. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a totally different person now. And I thought maybe it's not as good as I remember. Maybe. And I was like, nope, it's just as good as I remember. Look, if you're gonna, you said something earlier that I will 1,000,000% agree with. If you're gonna reboot something using an alternate timeline like this and bringing back a character going through, is the best way to do it. It is logical. It makes sense. You know, I'm not just using logical because of the Vulcans. It just makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, have a character go through a wormhole. He goes back in time to when, you know, he exists, but he's a little or younger, whatever. Right. And then you following these versions. Now you have a different timeline, the Kelvin timeline, they call it because of the stupid ship, I think. Right. The one that blows up at the beginning.
The father. Yeah, his father. Yeah.
So you now have a whole new way. You could do anything you want, and you don't have to just redo stories the same way they happened in the original series, which I think is brilliant. On top of that, it's just fun. This movie's fun. Like, the script is actually really good. When I saw that Kurtzman and Orsi guy wrote this, like, they're very hit or miss. Very hit or miss. I think they knocked this one out the park. There's great humor, great care. I like all the characters in this movie. All of them. They're all great. It's funny. It has great adventure. I'll save something else for the overall, but yeah, I think the storyline, it makes sense. It's easy to follow as far as like time travel type storylines go. This one makes perfect sense. It's not difficult to understand. They use some exposition, but that's okay because it helps. So yeah, I give it a 5. I don't have any problems with it.
All right, let's get to it with the storyline. Storyline is a 5. Oh. I don't care what anyone says. This is one of the best remakes that you could do. And I'll tell you why. One, you said it. Spock is not even the fact that Spock was like, oh shit, I opened up this wormhole. He didn't know what was going on. He threw went to save a planet before it got destroyed, and it just went haywire, and Nero went first, and then he caught up with him. That's how the wormhole worked. And I was like, holy crap, that is cool. But the fact is, for newer generation that did not know nothing about Star Trek, this opened the doors for you. You did not need to see three seasons of the original Star Trek. You did not need to see 9 or 7 seasons of Next Generation. You did not need to see all the other stuff that came in the past, because this opened up a new future for everyone. I agree with you. I think this is an excellent way to do it. All the characters were fun and hip. Everyone felt like the original characters, but their younger self. And you could tell that they took pride in being those characters. And that's something that you got to look in when you reboot a successful franchise. How well do they take the material and make it feel fresh while making you feel like you're watching the old characters at the same time? And I think they all did it amazing. Second, they brought back Leonard Nimoy is the best way to do it. I thought it was awesome. Third, Alex Kurtzman. Mm-hmm. And this is something I told you when we did the Mummy review. Yes. He is an excellent Star Trek writer. If you see everything he does with Star Trek, that's his property. And he knows his Star Trek. Strange New Worlds, I think, was created by him or something. Amazing. I think you will like it, to be really honest with you. I think you will enjoy it. If you like this movie, mm-hmm. you would love Strange New Worlds. It has the same technology, the same special effects. So you're watching a movie. So it's actually really cool. I told everybody, I was like, you gotta watch Strange New Worlds because it's really good. But anyway, Alex Kurtzman is an excellent Star Trek writer, but the score is so dope. Like, I mean, it's a modern take of the score. I wish they brought back the original score though. Like when they did like their thing and it's like, oh. Well,
since you brought it up, that was the part I was gonna save for the overall. The score, I love the score. Michael Giacchino did the score. You're right. In the credits, he uses that little bit that's like the, mm-hmm. but his originals, and the original movies have a great score. Like that original Star Trek music is great. This is also great with, without just copying or doing the same stuff.
No, yeah. The score brings, for Star Trek is the same with Star Wars. Like you have to have those iconic soundtracks mm-hmm. to elevate the property. Star Trek is very iconic with their music. And this movie totally gave you a modern version remake of it while they did it with the actual film. It is spot on. I'm telling you, dude, the Enterprise, the modern take of the Enterprise in this futuristic version is such a beautiful ship, dude. Like when they did that pass through and you see them looking out the window mm-hmm. and I felt like I was watching it with them on my 4K TV yep. and I was just like, this ship is fucking sexy. Like I was just like, man, this is a sexy ass ship. Yeah. I mean, it's a fake ship, but I was just like, man, this is a dope. But
the effects
ship.
Are great.
Oh, dude, the effects. Incredible. The scene when he's driving to it getting fixed. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, on the land. Oh, I was like, this thing looks dope. I was like, you never seen that. And we saw new elements of the ship we never seen before. You never saw the warp core with all the compartments. You never seen that shit on the TV. They expanded it on the movie when they're all running through these decks that you never seen before.
Yeah.
The water cooler thing. I never seen that in a TV show. You never see that stuff. They show you the warp core.
Yeah.
Like, we all know what the warp core looked like, but we never seen the water version of the damn thing. So I was like, damn, this is like J.J. Abrams took care of this. He does certain things in the next movie, which I want to choke him out, but we're going to talk about that in the next movie. But I think this worked very well. Storyline 5 overall.
Overall, great movie. There's one flaw that this movie has, and that's that it has scenes that are set in Iowa. That's really too bad. Well, I got to go to Iowa for. not only that. Not only that. When he's driving the car in Iowa, apparently there's a Grand Canyon in Iowa. Like, there's like a cliff. I'm pretty sure there's no part of Iowa that's like that. I don't care. Like, it's literally the Grand Canyon, and it looks like a desert. But other than that, a fantastic movie, a great sci-fi, a great adventure film, funny, great action. This hits every single thing you want from a really good, and you know what's the best part? It's only 2 hours. It's not 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Some movies need that. This did not. Yeah. Perfect runtime, 5 out of 5.
Oh, overall 5, bro. The only thing this was missing was Dolby Vision. And I would have said, oh my God, this movie's amazing. Yeah. But yeah, this movie had Atmos and I was okay. Dude, let me tell you, the sound system was dumping and Trump. I'm telling you, it was, oh my God, it was sizzling. You know how when you throw a steak on top of a grill and you hear the sizzle?
Yep.
That's exactly what my speakers were feeling. It was sizzling. You heard the thing like churn, like when Nero shot his missiles and you hear it go click, click, and it went click, 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 and it went, I heard it all. I said, oh my God. I'm like, and the scene, yo, let me tell you something. I love the way they show the lady getting sucked out of the Enterprise when it got hit, and it was just total silent. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I felt, I feel like I got blown out too.
Space. There's just
yeah, I was like, silent. This is amazing. Like, I guess there's certain things that triggers you. Like, wow.
The sound design is really good. So good. Like I said, it has all these weird like, bleeps and bloops and you could hear, even on me, like I wasn't even watching it with like any sort of sound system and you could, it just sounds really good.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about this movie that it's just, I hope they give it the, I mean, it doesn't need it. It looks amazing as is. If it gets the Adobe Vision upgrade, I'm definitely rebuying. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway.
Sell your
and give me another a new steelbook. We don't have a steelbook for this. Yeah, only the Blu-ray.
I had to put it in a...
You got the Blu-ray?
In a metal pack. That was from the Blu-ray.
Yeah. So, we need a new one.
Yeah.
It's time to get a new one.
This is such a hobo thing to do. Like, put an old Blu-ray case in. But I did it because all it came in was a regular plastic.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you right now, it needs one. I mean, we get like 80,000 versions of Marvel stuff. I don't know why we
There's
don't get
a steelbook
like, one.
For like freaking Bill and Ted's Excellent Journey or whatever. Like, give me... Give me Star Trek, okay?
Yeah, we'll give us Star Trek.
$380 million or whatever.
Yeah, the bastards. All right, Nate, what is your total points?
24. Almost a perfect Nero. Yeah. If he could have just been a little more ultimate, this would have been a 25. He's what held it back. Still a great villain. Don't get me wrong, but he's not a perfect villain. So other than that, though, fantastic movie.
Yeah, I agree with you. Nero, I got a perfect 24 too. Nero, yeah. All I needed to see was Nero slap the shit out of Kirk. And I would have said, this
like,
is
really boss a- some people, you know, like, really, yes. Like kill a few more people himself.
I mean, he picked up Kirk. He went and he flung him all over the place. And I was like, yeah, but that's not what I need.
Him down to his death. Five.
Or he dropped him in thinking he threw him off the thing. I would have been like, yes, this is awesome. Yeah, I kind of liked it. You're right. Yeah, 24-24. All right, Nate, what is coming up next on Zippercast?
All right, so guess what? It's a new month. It's March here around these parts. I don't know where you're listening. It's probably March where you're listening as well. Guess what? It's a new month. So we got a new alternate for the category. And we're doing, check this out, Alex. Finally, after 300 plus episodes, we're doing some Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Now, we've done Hard Target. And we had him as the villain in Expendables 2. That's pretty much all we've done for Van Damme. So we are dedicating a whole month to let's be honest, an action staple of the 80s and 90s. This guy was action movies one of the guys you thought of, Jean-Claude Van Damme. So we're starting with a little Sudden Death from 1995. So we're going to be covering that. And then next week, we will be moving to the sequel in this Star Trek reboot franchise, Star Trek Into Darkness. So yeah, keep an eye out for those coming up.
All right, guys, there you have it. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode because I loved it. All right, with that said, all you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. You can check out with him and his friends. They do their live stream every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Check out the podcast with him and the same friends. They got back together again that he did the podcast with. And the podcast is Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, get head over to our Geeks and Flicks at Instagram, our Instagram page. Then, of course, our website at www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.